Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Noise Radio.
My friend, he just always tries to go deeper in the musical transition. Marvelous production standards, I might add. Also, my name is Shin Quenter.
Mm-hmm.
The travel ban was set to go into effect. A federal judge in Hawaii issued a nationwide halt to the order. And then this morning, a judge in Maryland also temporarily blocked the travel ban, which would have suspended entry to all refugees and blocked entry to visitors from six majority Muslim nations: Iran, Syria, Sudan, Somalia, Yemen, and Libya. This is now the second time President Trump's executive orders banning refugees and travelers from majority countries have been blocked by the courts. U.S. District Judge Derek Watson in Hawaii said evidence exists to show, quote, the executive order was issued with a purpose to disfavor a particular religion. In his
Sullivan also said there was nothing secret about the motive of Trump's executive order, citing comments Trump made, as well as those of White House aide Stephen Miller and former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, who said Trump originally called it a Muslim ban. Speaking in Memphis Wednesday, Trump criticized the judge's ruling.
This ruling makes us look weak, which, by the way, we no longer are, believe me. Just look at our borders. We're going to fight this terrible rule. We're going to take our case as far as it needs to go, including all the way up to the Supreme Court.
That was Trump speaking in Nashville. Last week, Hawaii became the first state to sue Trump over the travel ban. On Wednesday, Hawaiian Governor David Ige praised the court ruling.
We felt compelled to assure that we will not tolerate discrimination on the basis of national origin or religion, because that truly goes against the very essence of what makes Hawaii a very special place. And so certainly we felt compelled to file the lawsuit and are very happy that the court agreed with our position.
Well, we're joined right now by Legal Art, the ACLU attorney, who presented the first challenge to Trump's initial travel ban last month. The ACLU brought the case against the revised ban in Maryland. Legal Art, welcome back to Democracy Now! So talk about these two stays of the ban, first Hawaii and now in Maryland.
Yeah, I mean, we're extremely pleased, but I think we're not surprised, because there is so much evidence out there that the primary purpose of this was religious discrimination. And I think the judges rightly saw that, and they saw that a few tweaks here and there would not eliminate, that what they said is this doesn't eliminate religious discrimination, because to a reasonable observer, it's clear what the president was trying to do. And the court just said, don't psychoanalyze government officials. Well, there's no need to psychoanalyze here. The president stated, we want a Muslim ban. And that's what happens when you say we want religious discrimination, the courts push back.
How common is it to look at statements made in the past? I mean, the judge said, we played part of his words, that these plainly worded statements betray the executive order's stated secular purpose. So is it unusual for courts to reference statements made in the past to infer in the present that the intent is the same?
It's not unusual. And the Supreme Court has made clear you need to look at full context, and you can't just avoid judicial scrutiny by cleaning up an order. You can look at statements. What I think is unusual is that the President of the United States made these kind of discriminatory statements, but there was so much evidence and so much direct evidence. I mean, normally, most government officials will try and hide it a little.
But let's go back to Donald Trump last night speaking in Nashville.
A judge has just blocked our executive order on travel and refugees coming into our country from certain countries.
Eliminate the primary purpose being to ban Muslims.
Well, what about what Trump said, though, at the end
does get deference, but what he cannot do is discriminate on the basis of religion. So if there's a genuine national security threat raised by particular individuals, of course they can investigate. What they can't, they need to investigate particular threats to particular individuals. What they can't do is base it on groups or religion, assume a particular religion is a threat.
In his ruling, U.S. District Court Judge Derek Watson, citing appearance by White House senior policy advisor Stephen Miller on Fox News, talking about the new revised ban.
Fundamentally, you're still going to have the same...
So police handcuffed Democratic Congress member Luis Gutierrez, along with activists and lawyers Monday after they held a sit-in protest at a federal immigration office. Gutierrez says the group refused to leave the Chicago Office of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, after the agency's regional director refused to answer his questions about the Trump administration's plans for immigration sweeps and mass deportation. Gutierrez spoke out on Monday after he was handcuffed.
One of the conference's star goals today stood up to the Department of Homeland Security and to Donald Trump's hatred, bigotry today against refugees, against Muslims, against our immigrant community. And we stood up and said, your policies are morally bankrupt.
Monday's meeting was Gutierrez's first with ICE officials since President Trump's inauguration. Last month, Congressman Gutierrez and fellow Congressional Hispanic Caucus member Norma Torres of California said Republican lawmakers had them thrown out of the meeting with a top ICE official. For more, we are staying with Congressmember Luis Gutierrez, who is now back in Washington, D.C. He's a member of the House Judiciary Committee and is co-chair of the Immigration Task Force of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. Congressman Gutierrez, describe what happened on Monday.
Well, we had a meeting with ICE officials, as you reported. There were many community organizations, liberals, the best ones there. A group of us insisted that we receive answers to specific questions. Much has been reported on the case of Francisca Lino. She's a Mexican national. For 12 years, she has reported suitably of Homeland Security, and each year they said, come back next year. She's a mother of four American citizens and an American citizen husband. And they have been showing discretion in terms of their enforcement actions towards her until this last meeting. And they won't reverse their decision. We asked them, we demanded, they reverse that decision. They keep saying to us in a very, in this contradiction of terms, they keep saying to the American public, we're going after the criminals, we're going after the bad people, the people that are out there to do harm. Well, they're not. Francisca, she's a mom. She's reported for 12 consecutive years. What change? The only thing that changed was that Donald Trump got sworn as president of the United States. You have Bannon and Miller, and you have the new Attorney General of the United States. We've all been talking. They didn't start. They didn't all come together during this administration. They have been cooperating with one another for many years, waiting to institute this kind of xenophobic anti-immigrant policy. Second, and this is very, very crucial, last Friday, through a series of tweets, imagine, the Department of Homeland Security, through a series of tweets, said, hey, all those dreamers, those that have got DACA, we picked up 1,500 of them. They're criminals and gangbangers. And then they went on to say in another tweet, oh, we're going to go after them if they violate the law. DACA doesn't give them protection against being criminals. Again, 750,000 wonderful people, their doctors, their lawyers, their nurses, their school teachers in the Chicago public school system, their workers, their students, criminalizing them once again, and saying they no longer have the protection against deportation. I thought it was important that we had a fundamental question. Are you going after that? Because we know you've done it in Washington State, we know you've done it in Mississippi, and we have other cases in which you have done it. So look, so you got to stand up. If I tell people it's right to give your government information, just give your information over to the government, go to the background check, it's going to be right with the law, and you are right with the law, and you have done absolutely nothing wrong other than another president got elected. You got to stand up for those people that have stood up for themselves. That's what we were doing that day, and we said to them, and so primary showcase of American workers.
Well, I want to ask you about Army veteran Miguel Perez Jr., a Mexican-born legal permanent resident of the U.S., an Army veteran who served two tours of duty in Afghanistan. He arrived in the U.S. at the age of 8 and now faces deportation. This is his father, Miguel Perez Sr., speaking through a translator to the Chicago Tribune. He was in special forces in Iran. And they sent him to Afghanistan. So he was in 2001 to 2003, the first one. He can really tell very young. And I'm very proud of him as well. Because he defended the Constitution, he defended the system, defended his land, defended the flag. And like my son says, I was there, I was confronted, I was in front of the battle. I don't know why I have to be deported. So that was Miguel Perez Sr., the father of Miguel Perez. Now, he is a legal permanent resident of the U.S. How is it possible to deport him?
Well, because the Trump administration can and will. And he is under an order of deportation. He has recently lost his case. And I think I'm so happy you're highlighting. He's not the only veteran. There are literally hundreds of veterans that have served in the armed forces of the United States. And like Mr. Perez, are decorated veterans. Mr. Perez has never been a U.S. citizen. He's a legal permanent resident, a green card holder. His mom's a citizen. His dad's a citizen. All of his family are citizens, with his exception. Under the Bush administration, he was supposed to be facilitated the process of American citizenship when he joined the armed forces. That did not happen. But he went on to serve not one tour of duty, but two. And I find it just so reprehensible that an administration led by a president of the United States that on multiple occasions refused to bear arms for this nation when he was called upon, that he had a bone spur that hasn't stopped him from playing on every golf course in every continent of the world, would deport someone.
All right, this is Black Noise Radio, and we are going to play some music.